This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batzer with Professor H.J. Mackinder, commenting on five capitals in war at the end of 2022, a very bad year, a year in which the recovery was ungainly and then didn't exist, at least in the markets in Europe and the United States. In China, much worse, because the markets not only staggered, the economy not only plunged, but also at year's end, a protest of the mask of the mandatory zero COVID led to a release of all of the people of China from the lockdown that they'd been suffering for a year or 2 years or 3 years. It's impossible to know. And now the news is the virus is spreading throughout China so quickly that visitors to Europe, Chinese visitors to Europe, are being tested and theoretically barred. That will happen in the United States, too. So we have two crises. We have a pandemic and we have a war. Professor, what has Beijing lost this year?
Well, it's possible that that the communists have lost everything this year. In other words, I'm not saying that that's what's going to happen, but this is a crisis unlike any that I have seen since the death of Mao in 1976. And of course, even if China fell apart, Mao was such an intelligent, such a resourceful, such a devious, and to ordinary Chinese, such a charismatic figure that even after the Cultural Revolution, he was able to pull things together. And it was only when after he had died that within a month, all of his appointees had been arrested. His whole camarilla had been arrested. But it wasn't until about 1979, 1980, that China began to assume the form that we thought was permanent. Now, if I could make one correction to what you have just said, it was not these protests that led to the end of the lockdown. What we now know from China is that even before the 20th Party Congress, which is when Xi essentially rigged a meeting, even more than they're usually rigged. He rigged a meeting so that many of the delegates didn't understand what was going on at all, and he got them to vote or to appear to vote. They didn't know that this is what they were voting for. They appeared to vote for him to go on as party leader, on and on. The new wave of COVID had already begun in China about a month before that 20th Party Congress. And it was known, even though things were under lockdown, that behind the lockdown, the COVID virus was spreading and doing its merry pranks. But because of the importance attached to the conference, this information was not released. Now, there has been an attempt to blame the protest movement for the decision to stop the lockdown. But what is now what I now hear from my sources is that in fact there was no plan to eliminate the lockdown until it became clear that the contagion could not be contained, was not being contained by the incredibly expensive, cumbersome, and alienating system that China had put in place and has had in place for the last 3 years. And the Mr. Xi, and we have to remember, he is not a well-educated man even compared to his predecessors, and he's not particularly intelligent compared to his predecessors. He said, look, here's what we do. We just open up, we let everybody get sick, and then the ones who were weak, and let them die off, and we'll save a lot of money on things like pensions and health care for the elderly and so forth. But let's get that over with, and then we'll be able to put COVID behind us. That is the view of a man with a sixth grade education and no understanding of medicine. The epidemiologists say that this is not at all how it works. So in China, we have now opened the proverbial Pandora's box, and everything, they have hundreds of millions. It's thought that 700 million Chinese are now infected. The rate of infection is astonishingly high, 70-80% of populations, including people who have been isolated. So there are rumors in China that the government may, I don't believe this, but the government may have been spreading the virus in order to get it over with quickly. Certainly, this whole catastrophe has led to a degree of dissatisfaction with the central government that is higher than I can recall. And what makes what's an emblematic of this is the fact that for the first time that I'm aware of, you've had huge crowds chanting, "Down with the Communist Party, down with Xi Jinping." Think back to 1989 and the appalling sack of Beijing and the killings, which we now think may have been between 20 and 30,000 dead at the June 4th massacre. Never at that time was there any suggestion by any of the people involved that the Communist Party should step down or that the leadership should step down. At that time, the protesters wanted, they believed that the party would listen and that reforms could be taken that would shift China in a different direction. What we now have in China is contempt and ridicule of the leader, and I don't think he has many convinced followers. What this means is that since he's gathered all the power in theory into his hands, if he gets in trouble, then we don't know who, if anyone, is going to wield power in China, which opens up a whole series of scenarios ranging from Xi recovering and becoming a new Stalin to China, the People's Republic of China, disintegrating into a series of regions. Remember that the province of Guangdong, Canton province, would qualify as a country as far as its population, its GNP, and all the rest goes. It would qualify as a country if it should come out as a country. There has been talk in Shanghai that Shanghai should become independent. This is not a new pattern in the Chinese history in the last 100 years or so. Provinces have regularly seceded and then returned once a new order was created in the country as a whole. So I think that the crisis in China is unfathomable in a way that none of the other, that in Beijing, if you look out in Beijing, it's really, really dark. You have no idea of what's going to happen, nor does anyone else, including the people inside Zhongnanhai or the Forbidden City. Whereas I think that in the other capitals, there is some light coming through. It's still twilight or it's a fog, which is not completely impenetrable. So China is the big unknown in this equation. And if things go wrong in China, mind you, that is going to have tremendous implications for the whole Pacific, Southeast Asia, India, Central Asia, the eastern part of Russia, and perhaps more, and the balance of power in the world. And it is a very, very uncertain situation, but it's packed with unpleasant possibilities.
Professor H.J. Mackinder, five capitals at year's end. None of these capitals are, at this moment, as the professor has reviewed them, have reason to look to 23 for better. Reason to look to 23 for stability, if it can be found. History says that you don't pick a bottom. that you don't know the bottom until afterwards. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.